Hey there, budgeteers. Are you ready to unlock the power of each payday and take control of your finances like a boss? Introducing the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits. This isn't your average budgeting tool. Oh no. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll harness the unique rhythm of your paychecks to supercharge your financial game. Say goodbye to the confusion of monthly budgets and hello to the clarity of every payday. You'll know exactly when money is coming in and when it's going out, giving you the edge you need to stay on top of your finances. But that's not all. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll easily spot whether you're rocking a surplus or facing a deficit. Armed with this knowledge, you'll make informed decisions that set you up for financial success. It's time to transform your relationship with money and create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Get your hands on the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits today and start making every dollar count. Don't let financial stress hold you back. Create a better plan for your money and seize the power of your pay period and thrive with the Payday Power Planner. Visit newmoneyhabits.com now to grab your free copy and unleash your financial potential. On this episode of the New Money Habits podcast, I share the five expenses you need to plan for when traveling, how to make informed decisions, and how to set healthy boundaries. What's up, budgeteers, and welcome to the New Money Habits podcast. I'm your host and one of the co-founders of New Money Habits, Coach Nino Villa. And today on the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to determine the real cost of travel, explore how to make informed decisions, and discuss three ways to set healthy boundaries. If you have any questions, be sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. If you want to help out the show, consider leaving a five-star rating and review. We cannot thank you enough for leaving a five-star rating and review. They truly help us to spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money. Now let's get into today's episode. There are five expenses you need to consider when traveling. When I sit down with a client to help them to plan for their first trip when working with me, it's inevitable. They think that the only two expenses they need to concern themselves with are the expenses of traveling from point A to point B. So if they're flying, the airfare, if they're renting a car, the car rental, and then the hotel. So we sit down to make a plan for the money that they need to travel. And they're like, oh yeah, the airfare is going to be $400 and the hotel is going to be $200 a night. We're going to be there for two nights. So that's another $400. So I need $800 for this trip. And unfortunately, that is just not the case. Like I said, there are five expenses that need to be considered when traveling. And so let's go through those. The first one is you need to consider what it is going to cost to travel from A to B. And so this is your airfare, your train fare, your bus fare, your car rental, however you're going to get from point A to point B, you need to be considering that. For example, I've taken the family to New York a couple of times. Now, the most recent time, we flew. So airfare was the cost of getting from point A to point B. In the past, we have traveled by car. We've driven across country. And so the travel expense from A to B was the car rental. And so that's the first expense you need to consider when traveling. And most people are already thinking about, you know, what is the airfare going to cost me? If I'm renting a car, what is that going to cost me? But here's the next part of traveling that often gets overlooked. So the second expense you need to be considering when traveling is once you get to point B, how are you getting around? So when I took the family to New York back in December, we knew we wanted to rent a car. We wanted the freedom of having our own vehicle. So once we got to point B, I needed to consider what is the car rental going to cost, but not just the rental of the car itself, but the gas that I was going to need to use to get around. New York has tolls, so I had to consider having money set aside to pay for tolls as we moved around the city. And then also, if we were going to need to pay for parking or public transportation, when we got to certain destinations within the city, I had to consider that as well. So it's not enough to think just about how am I going to get from point A to point B, but once I'm at point B, how am I getting around and what expenses am I going to incur just traveling around the destination? The third expense you need to consider when traveling is, of course, lodging. Now, when I took the family to New York back in December, we were staying with family, and so we didn't have a lodging cost. But that's not always the case, right? There's plenty of times that we have traveled to New York, that cross-country trip. We had to stop certain times, certain days along the way, and we had to plan for lodging. And so the third expense that you need to consider is, what is it going to cost for lodging? And again, this is one of those expenses that most people are already considering, right? They think about the airfare to get from A to B. They think about, oh, I have a hotel or an Airbnb, and that's how much it's going to cost, you know, for the week that I'm there, for the 10 days that I'm there, whatever that duration is. Most people are already thinking about it. And so that one's kind of obvious. But your fourth expense, most people are not planning for at all, or even if they do, they don't budget nearly enough, and that is for food. And so the way I like to do this is, when I'm building out a travel plan, whether it's for myself or with any one of my clients, I like to list the days that you're leaving, you're coming back, and all the days in between. And so when we took that trip to New York in December, we traveled, I believe, on December 1st, came back on December 8th. So I write down December 1st, then December 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. And so I've already considered that first expense, travel from A to B, so airfare on December 1 and December 8th, and then getting around Decembers 1 through 8, gas, tolls, car rental expense. Lodging, as I said, was covered, but whenever I'm planning with clients, it's, you know, how many nights? So we would have needed a hotel for the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th. So 7 nights. How much is that going to cost? But this is how we can then also determine food. So even though December 1st and December 8th were travel days, we're still going to buy food out and about while we're traveling. And then, of course, the days in between. And so there's a number of ways you can do this, but the easiest way is to think about, how often does your family truly eat? Meaning, my family and I, we do not eat 3 times a day. We don't eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We eat maybe a late breakfast, early lunch, and then maybe dinner, or maybe we have breakfast and then like a late lunch, early dinner. So we typically eat about twice a day. And so it was determining, how much money were we going to spend eating out twice a day? And so we just kind of rounded up to $50 per day. So $50 per day, the 8 days that we were there. And then we had our budget of $400 for the time that we were traveling. And so I do the same thing with clients. We sit down, we figure out, what are your travel days? What are the days in between? How much do you plan on spending on food each day? Multiply it by the number of days, and there you go. You have your food budget for when you're traveling. And so the fifth and final expense you need to consider when traveling, now this one is either grossly under budgeted for, or this is the one that's completely missed and not a part of anybody's budget when I first sit down and help them plan for travel, and that is entertainment. It is unlikely that you are going to travel for leisure and not go somewhere, whether it's something as simple as going to a movie or a museum, or, you know, we were in New York, so of course we were going to go to Niagara Falls and we were going to go to some other places. And so planning for that entertainment and knowing, hey, we're going to want to explore the city a little bit. We're going to want to go to different places. When we get to those places, we're going to probably want to pick up a couple of souvenirs. And so having a budget for this, having this be part of your overall traveling plan, money-wise, is incredibly important. And like I said before, often overlooked. So there's the five expenses you need to be considering. Travel from A to B, getting around when you get to B, the lodging, the food, and entertainment. And I'll tell you, as I said before, so often when we're planning for travel, it's the airfare and the hotel. So it's $400 for the airfare. I'm going to be there two nights. It's $200 a night. That's $400 for the hotel. I need $800 for this trip. When the truth is that you need $400 to get there, $400 to stay there. Even when you get there, if you're just going to do ride share, from like the airport to the hotel, you still need to plan another $20, $30, maybe as much as $50 each way from the airport to the hotel and then from the hotel back to the airport. You're going to eat while you're traveling. And so let's say it's another $50 per day for 2 days. That's $100. And so all of a sudden, we've gone from needing $800 to $1,000 just with rideshare and food. But again, we haven't considered the entertainment. What are we doing while we're there? Where are we going to go? What money do we need to be budgeting for that? Especially on these longer trips, like a week-long trip. Again, most people thinking only airfare and hotel are not considering all the other expenses that can take an $800 trip and make it a $1,500 trip very, very quickly. And so there are your five expenses to consider when traveling. Now let's talk a little bit about making informed decisions. I've been sitting down with clients recently, and a number of them are making plans for leisure travel. And so I'm going through the process of planning their travel with them using the five expenses discussed earlier. But it's because of this process that my clients can actually make informed decisions about even whether or not they want to travel. And so I was sitting down with a client the other day, and we were going through the process of outlining the five expenses for a 10-day trip. And so we looked at the travel days, we looked at the days in between, and we went through each of those five categories, all the expenses to travel from A to B, getting around when they got to B, their lodging, their food, and their entertainment. And once we started to calculate out all of the expenses for this particular trip, the client actually kind of paused and said, I don't think I want to do it. I don't think I want to do it. And so we talked a little bit about that, and she had a number of different reasons. It wasn't just the cost alone, but the cost, as it mounted up, helped her to look at things a little bit more objectively. She was able to look at this trip and really start to ask herself questions about the time of year she was traveling, the destination to which she was going to travel, and started really questioning whether or not she would actually enjoy this particular trip. And so when we calculated everything out, it came out to somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000. And so as she was thinking about that, she said, I would rather take that money and travel to a different destination at a different time in the year and do different things once I got there than what this particular vacation was going to offer. And so she decided against it. She made an informed decision. Before sitting down to work through all of the expenses, she was pretty sure she was going to take the trip. A couple of friends were inviting her along. And so I think she was excited about that opportunity of spending quality time with some friends. But when she looked at the true trip, the destination, the activities at the destination, and the cost associated with it, she said, not for me. And she's not the only one. I actually sat down with a couple that I'm coaching, and they were talking about possible travel. And again, we did the same thing. We sat down, we looked at what are the travel dates? What are the costs to get you from A to B? What are the costs once you get to get you around B once you're there? What's lodging going to cost you? What's food going to cost you? What's entertainment going to cost you? And when they looked at those, kind of similar, I think it had more to do with the destination. Like, wow, do we really want to spend the money to go there and to do that? Or would we rather save that money and apply it to a different opportunity to go somewhere else and to do something else? And so we can use this process of really counting the costs to help us make informed decisions, regardless of whether or not it's travel, right? You can sit down and kind of calculate the costs on anything to then make an informed decision. I do this a lot with clients when we're talking about their plan for either eliminating debt or specifically paying off student loans. We look at the big financial picture. We look at what are the interest rates that you're paying? What are the minimum monthly payments? You know, how long would it take? What's the timeline? So that we can start to allocate dollars toward the right thing, or toward the debt that it makes the most sense. For instance, sitting down with a client the other day to map out the debt elimination plan. And so as we're looking at what's owed, how much is owed, what are the interest rates on that, and if we put the dollars towards this debt A instead of debt B, what does it look like? Now let's calculate it the other way. What if we put the extra surplus money towards debt B and then debt A? Does it shift the timeline? Do other things change the scope of what we're looking at so that we can make an informed decision, so that we're not just making decisions based off of feelings of either stress, anxiety, frustration. Well, I just want to pay this one because this particular debt is really frustrating me. Now, sometimes that's the right move, but then sometimes it's not. And making an informed decision is just about taking the extra step to put the plan down on paper so that we can stare at the numbers, become a little bit more objective, and help us to decide whether we want to take that trip or not, whether we want to pay debt A before debt B or debt B before debt A. We're really just taking the moment, taking the time to map out a plan so that we can make a more informed decision that's objective and not subjective to how we're feeling in that moment. Hey there, budgeteers. Are you tired of feeling like your finances are running the show? Well, it's time to flip the script and take charge of your money with New Money Habits Financial Coaching. This isn't your typical financial advice. New Money Habits is about empowering you with the knowledge and tools you need to make savvy money moves and build a solid financial foundation. Here's the deal. We're offering a free discovery session to kickstart your journey to financial freedom. Yep, you heard me right. Free. In this session, one of our experienced coaches will help you to pinpoint your financial goals and create a better plan for your money. We're talking about mastering your money mindset, picking up practical money management skills, and having someone to hold you accountable along the way. So, if you're ready to kiss financial stress goodbye and say hello to a brighter financial future, then schedule your free session today to create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. All right, now there are three ways or three areas that I want to talk a little bit about setting healthy boundaries in when it comes to your money. And so over the years of financial coaching and all the experience that I've gained working with couples and individuals, people who are single, people who are married, people who have kids, all walks of life, I've noticed a trend or I've noticed a couple of areas that clients are always looking to set some healthy boundaries, but seem to struggle to do so. So I wanted to talk about it a little bit today. I wanted to talk about these three areas that you can set healthy boundaries and how you can go about doing that. So one of the first ways or one of the first areas that you can set healthy boundaries in when it comes to your money is when you're going out to dinner, especially when you're going out to dinner with other people. So if this is not just like you, your spouse, and your children going out to dinner, but you going out to dinner with your parents, your siblings, family, friends, if you're single, just going out with friends to dinner or anywhere else for that matter. And here's how you set a healthy boundary. You discuss how the check is going to be split before you order. I have had clients and friends share horror stories with me about what is supposed to be a nice experience out with friends or family, going out to dinner or going out to some other social event, only for that dinner to be spoiled by awkwardness when it comes to paying the bill. In fact, there's a story that really just comes to mind every time I'm talking about this. And that is a friend of mine was going out to dinner with his father. And his father invited him out to dinner, said, "Hey, you know, we should go to dinner." And of course, that meant father, wife, son who's being invited, and son's family, spouse, and children. And so father says, "Hey, we really should go and grab a bite and have a nice dinner," whatever the invitation looks like, right? That's not really the point, but that's so often how it happens, right? There's this invitation like, "Hey, let's go to dinner." So son accepts. "Okay, great. Yeah, let's go out to dinner. That sounds great." So they go out and they're sitting down at the restaurant and there's a lot of assumptions taking place. There's a lot of assumptions, especially on the son's part. The son is assuming dad is paying for this bill because dad made an invitation and nobody clarified. The one who made the invitation didn't say, "Hey, let's go get some dinner. Not that I cannot treat, but it would be nice if we could go to dinner." And dad also didn't say, "Hey, let's go to dinner, my treat." So dad just said, "Hey, let's go to dinner." Son accepts the invitation. Son is at dinner, assuming dad is going to pay for the bill. They have a nice meal. They have a nice conversation. The bill comes, and all of a sudden, it's, "Oh, can you split this?" That question being directed to the server. And so now, son, who was invited out to dinner, is kind of like a deer caught in headlights, a little confused, certainly unexpected. And so, okay, goes into his wallet, pays his portion of the bill. But that experience was so detrimental to the relationship because healthy boundaries weren't established early. And that is, while it is seemingly awkward because it's just not a cultural norm, we ought to communicate with one another when somebody invites somebody else out for dinner or for any social event. There should be extra communication. "Hey, did you want to go get some dinner? We'd have to split the bill," or I get it. Like, I'm even struggling with how to say that because it's not something that rolls off the tongue. I don't invite people out unless I can pay the bill. So mine is, "Hey, do you want to go get some dinner? My treat." That just rolls off the tongue because that's how I do that. I don't invite people out to dinner if I'm not going to pay for it. It is super, super awkward to say, "Hey, do you want to go get some food? Let's all go Dutch." Maybe that's an easy way to say it. Like, "Hey, I would love to go out and get some food with you guys if we can all go Dutch." All right. So it took me a moment, but I got there. But we just need to break some of these cultural norms and awkward, just communicate. communication about money is very, very, very important. And so this is just one way that we can set some healthy boundaries, is that we communicate about who is paying for what and when inviting somebody out to dinner or some other social setting. Closely related, another area that you can set healthy boundaries when it comes to your money is when you are visiting family, whether you're the one going to a destination and visiting family, or that visiting family is coming to you and they're hanging out with you. But again, this is all about discuss who is paying for what and when. And so when the family and I traveled to New York back in December, even before we went to the airport and got on the plane, I was already in conversations with my mother and the rest of the family about what are we doing for dinner throughout the week that we're there? You know, are we planning on having dinner at the house? And if so, you know, who's doing the grocery shopping? Who's going in on that grocery bill? How are we splitting that? But there were conversations being had. And so before we left, we knew that there were going to be two family dinners while we were there. So there was going to be a family dinner the second or third night we were there, and there was going to be a family dinner the last night we were there. And we discussed who was picking up the bill for that, that was happening at the house, who's cooking, just conversations so that there wasn't unfulfilled expectations. Oh, I thought we were splitting it, and then you don't split it. Or, hey, I thought mom was taking care of it, but then mom didn't take care of it. And so instead of having some awkward, unfulfilled expectation, we just started discussing it. And in that conversation, it was, okay, so we know there's a family dinner two of the nights that we're there. But that first day that we're there, hey, we were coming in from out of town, and Western New York has some amazing food, and I'm back, quote, home. I got to have, we just call them wings out in Buffalo. You don't call them buffalo wings, but I have to have my wings. I want the family to experience the pizza and some other food, like sub sandwiches and whatnot. And so it was, hey, we're going to be doing this. Not I want. I said, hey, on the day after we arrive, this is what we will be doing. Anybody else who wants to join in, that's great, but we will be paying for ourselves. So I didn't necessarily invite people out to dinner, but I wanted to let them know, hey, this is what we will be doing. Anybody and everybody is welcome to join us, but they have to pay their own way. So just having a conversation and discussing it ahead of time so that there isn't unfulfilled expectations, there aren't unrealistic assumptions. And so just good, healthy communication. And so it was great. And we did that, and it was really easy. The other way is when people are coming to you. So when people are coming to you, what I have to remind family when they're coming to us is, you are on vacation, we are not. That means that while you're on vacation and you're visiting us, you may want to go and do all these other things that we have not yet planned for. So you have to make it very clear what your expectations are. When you're here, is there a museum you want to go to? Is there a national park you want to go to? Okay, where is that located? What are the costs associated with it? We talk about it. Okay, yes, we can participate, or no, I'm sorry, we can't participate because it's just not in our budget for this month. So we just have conversations about when you get here, you're on vacation, which means you also may want to eat out every night that you're here, but we will still be making food at home, practicing our regular routine. And so I just encourage you to set healthy boundaries when you are visiting family or when family is visiting you, to discuss who is paying for what and when, so that you can avoid awkward, unmet expectations and frustration that comes with that. And then The third area that I want to talk about, setting some healthy boundaries when it comes to your money, is you are allowed to decline invitations. It sounds super simple, yet it can be extremely difficult. I'm somebody who really enjoys social settings, social outings. I really enjoy spending time with other people, especially if it's somebody I don't get to see, too often. And so whether it's a Friday night poker game, or it's a Saturday morning men's breakfast, or whatever it might be, these are invitations that I want to accept all the time. My default would be yes, yes, yes. But there are times, whether it's due to money situations or otherwise, that I need or want to decline that invitation. And so this is a healthy boundary that you can set with other people, that the word no is okay. You can say no. You can decline invitations because you have other priorities that you're trying to meet. And so where this really comes up mostly is when I'm working with clients and they have friends who are always inviting them out. Like me, they want to be social. They want to be around the people that they hold dear and love. But sometimes that comes with a monetary expense that is going to derail the progress and the goals, the financial goals that they have otherwise. And so I've noticed with a couple of clients lately, just having to encourage them that it's okay. You can decline invitations, or you can set different expectations for what hanging out might look like, instead of having to go out and do this thing or that thing out and about. You know, maybe it's coming over and popping some popcorn and watching a movie and just doing something at the house. And so it's okay to say no. It's okay to decline invitations. And also, I want to encourage anyone who's listening that these decisions are not for a lifetime. They are for a season. And so sitting down with a client the other day, talking about, let's not do that for this pay period. For the next 14 days, let's graciously decline those invitations so that for this 14-day period, you can accomplish these other things that you want to do. Then when we get together around your next pay period or your next payday, we'll look at how did that work out? And did you accomplish the things that you set out to accomplish? And so now there's a little bit more freedom, a little bit more surplus. And so we can plan for, hey, now we can accept invitations because we've accomplished these goals and crossed them off our list. And so, like I said earlier, it's easier said than done, but communication, especially around money, will help you to set healthy boundaries, to help you reduce the stress and anxiety you might have with money, help you to achieve financial goals that you have by being able to communicate with others what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do when it comes to incurring expenses in social gatherings and the alike. And so those are just three areas in which you can establish healthy boundaries. That does it for this episode of the New Money Habits Podcast. Remember, if you have any questions, make sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please consider leaving a 5-star rating and review to help us spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money.